So who else? You said that Johnny Hodges really did it. Who else did it for you?
Oh, well, I mean, we could probably go on forever. Coleman Hawkins. I think our first date back in 1950 was to go see Roy Eldridge and then Johnny Hodges at a club in Des Moines, Iowa. And Coleman Hawkins was at that time one of my idols, and still is, you know, after all these years. We're talking about the early days, right? A lot of the guys in Duke Ellington's band, of course, were certainly my idols. The baritone saxophone player. You're going to have to supply some names because I forgot to write down some of the names.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
And Jimmy Hamilton on tenor sax and clarinet, especially clarinet. Jimmy Hamilton just kind of reinforced my love for clarinet, along with Benny Goodman. And then immediately thereafter came a fellow by the name of Buddy DeFranco. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I couldn't believe what this guy did on clarinet. And, of course, Eddie Daniels is doing the same thing plus more, mm-hmm. even than Buddy DeFranco did now, today. So, of course, Eddie is one of my, you know, idols now, currently. Stan Getz on tenor. Paul Desmond on alto. Cannonball Adderley on alto. Sonny Stitt. We could go on for a long time.
There's a lot of them out there. Well, tell me, when did you decide to pick up the sax?
I think it was probably my junior year in high school. And I'm sure that I was influenced by the fact that I wanted to try to play a little tiny bit like Johnny Hodges. And so I bought an old 1923 Con and kind of taught myself how to play. Unfortunately, I've never had any music lessons per se on the respective instruments. It's all been a self-taught thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not particularly proud of that. That's just the way it happened. And so I started the alto, I'm sure, because of Johnny Hodges. I was about 16, maybe.
Okay. That sounds good.
And I added flute. It must have been about 3 or 4 years later. And I was inspired by Herbie Mann at that time, of course, because he was just making the flute a recognizable instrument in jazz at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you think being in New Mexico has impacted your music?
Well, I think by coming to New Mexico, I wound up playing music. I was slated to be a weather man at a Sioux City, Iowa television station. And I had to choose between two jobs, either coming down to KNME as a director-producer or going to Sioux City and becoming a weatherman, on-air weatherman. And I opted, of course, to come to New Mexico for several reasons. First of all, we fell in love with the place immediately on that 3-day trip. And second of all, my wife has had some, you know, asthmatic problems, and maybe I shouldn't say asthmatic, but problems with being allergic to the problems back in the Midwest. And so this seemed like the logical place to come to try to make life better mm-hmm. for her. By coming to New Mexico, I wound up playing music by going to Sioux City. I think maybe I might not have. I don't know, of course. Who knows?
You might have taken a little bit longer, maybe, to
or maybe not at all. There's
exactly.
No way to tell.
That's true.
And I was extremely fortunate to immediately meet some of the leading musicians in town at that time in 1958. Very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Very grateful.
And since then, like I said, you had your quartet, you did the Dixieland thing, and then you did start becoming a music teacher.
Yeah.
How did that end up starting?
Well, I had worked, I had done clinics, so even when I was working in broadcasting, I had done some music clinics for some high schools and junior highs because the band directors had asked me to do this. And I found that I really enjoyed it, and I was fortunate in having some rapport with the kids. And I got to the point where I didn't care for what I was doing. I just did not enjoy it.
You had your quartet, you did the Dixieland thing, and then you did start becoming a music teacher.
Yeah.
How did that end up starting?
Well, I had worked, I had done clinics, so even when I was working in broadcasting, I had done some music clinics for some high schools and junior highs because some band directors had asked me to do this. And I found that I really enjoyed it, and I was fortunate in having some rapport with the kids. And I got to the point where I didn't care for what I was doing. I just did not enjoy it. I was working in a music store, selling instruments. I quit broadcasting, and I went into that. And I got to thinking, why not? Why don't I start teaching kids what little bit I know, and in the process I'll learn some more myself, which of course has certainly been the case. The more I teach, the more I learn. And I love kids.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about learning from the student.
Well, when I first started, there were some high school kids who knew more than I did, frankly. And I really appreciate, I was kind of embarrassed, of course. But they were very kind to me. And they would play, and then I'd sort of absorb these things, and I would read everything I'd get my hands on, of course, and go to clinics myself and try to learn things. As I said, I've never had any private lessons on the instruments I actually play. I've had private lessons on instruments I don't play, but none of the ones I actually play. And so I felt a little bit awkward about this entire thing, but I felt that I might not do them any damage. I might actually do them some good. And I think over the 41-year history of it, the teaching, I hope I've done more good than harm.
Well, you know, Jimi Hendrix didn't know how to read music either, and he did pretty good.
I didn't
too.
Know that.
He did not know how to read music at all. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, that was one of the issues with Miles Davis getting ready to hire him just before he died.
Ah.
Everybody was like, well, he doesn't know how to read music, man. It's like, well, it's Jimi Hendrix.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So I have a feeling you probably did okay. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, it wasn't a matter of not, of course, not being able to read music, because I could, of course, do the basic things fairly well. But getting into some of the other things required some digging on my part, which, of course, was very, very good for me. And I'm still doing it.
That's great.
Still digging.
So what do you dig? What do you dig for? What do you look for?
Oh, more knowledge. You know, how to better communicate, how to better learn how to play the instrument, more harmonic, better harmonic concepts, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface.
So where do you go for that information?
Right at the moment, I have a library of books, CDs, and once in a while when I have the opportunity, I pick brains. I have not done any actual formal studying yet, even today, as such, except for a couple of sessions at UNM where I had a theory course, I think, and I took oboe lessons from Daryl Randall, and I was a dismal failure. And so I said, well, maybe I better not try this.
Okay. So I guess this kind of brings me to the thought I was having a little earlier. But are there any musics out there that you have not played that you would like to play? Or, like, forgive me for saying this, if you felt like, you know, I hope you know what I mean by this, if you felt like really brave and say, I'm just going to play this. Is there a music that you're not, you haven't touched on it, you haven't explored, that you think would be?
That's a hard question, David. Real hard question. I would like to get although you know, a lot of my roots are in the very fundamental 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s style, even Dixieland, stuff we've talked about before, I really appreciate, I don't know if you want to call it avant-garde or not, but I really am into pretty contemporary things. I mean, I would like to be into pretty contemporary things. The only way I do that, I do it once in a while because somebody writes for it. I don't actually do this on my own. But if one of the many composers in the state writes for something that is kind of out there, I love it. I just love it. So but as far as exploring it myself, I don't have the knowledge to do it yet.
So, for instance, you talk about some of the avant-garde stuff. So what sort of artists?
I don't think I could specify anyone in particular, mm-hmm. really.
So I know that you brought some music in.
Mm-hmm.
You brought some music with you, some of the stuff that you enjoy, some of the stuff that maybe you've played. And maybe we should start out with you brought some Dixieland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a group called the Duke City Jazz Band, and I think it was recorded here at KUNM back about 17 or 18 years ago. The band was actually in existence about 1979, 80, 81, somewhere in that era. The recording, though, I think was 89.
Okay. So let's go ahead and listen to some. What's the name of the song?
This one is Jazz Me Blues.
And we just got through listening to some music from Arlen Asher and talking to him here in the studio. Arlen, what is it about Dixieland that you love so much? I mean, it's a fun music.
Oh, you just said it. It's happy. It's, well, I mean, when you play, you know, something like a lowdown blues, of course, it's not so happy. But I think the general feeling of Dixieland or New Orleans jazz, whatever you want to call it, is it's an infectious happiness. I mean, you can't help but just jump when you feel that stuff.
That's great.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah, me too. You have some other music that you brought with you.
Yeah, I thought maybe we might kind of do it maybe chronologically. This was 1989, but the band was in existence in about 1980, as I said before. I've worked with several different groups in New Mexico the past 40 years, as you can guess. One of them was a group led by Sharon Shaheen, who is a fine jazz pianist. I think she's not playing so much now. I think she is now has her law degree and has become a lawyer. I hope she's still playing because she was and is just a fantastic musician. This was recorded, I think, live recording back about 1996, I think. And it's a quartet setting with piano, clarinet, bass, and drums.
And where was it?
So the title is Waltz for Debbie.
Okay. That's called Waltz for Debbie. And,
it's a Bill Evans tune.
Bill Evans tune,
yeah.
With Sharon Shaheen,
mm-hmm.
and a quartet with Arlen Asher.
And Mark Clark on drums, and John Bell's a guy on bass.
All right, great, great.